I'm here in Tala and I'm talking to Richard Tawamba from Zimbabwe, and born in 1964. And tell me, Richard, we'll start with just your background. What part of Zimbabwe did you grow up?
I grew up in the eastern part of Zimbabwe, which is called the Eastern Highlands, in a small town called Nyanga. That's where I was born.
What was that like, you know, growing up there now? Was it, you know, what was the, how many in your family, how many brothers and sisters? And
we are seven in our family. We are two boys and five girls. I'm the eldest boy.
What were the circumstances? I mean, did you grow up in your tradition? Can you describe to me what it was like there? For example, did your father and mother and their parents all live in the one house, or how did that go?
Well, it was basically in rural Zimbabwe. And in rural Zimbabwe, generally, we all live as families. It was a meet-up family. My father used to work about 20 kilometers away. And my mother used to take care of the family at home. Most of the activities, income-generating activities, basically, we were involved in agriculture. Subsistence agriculture, whereby you just grow enough to feed yourselves, and if there's any extras, you'd sell that. But in most cases, people, they just grow what is enough for their needs.
Yeah. And was there always enough food? I mean, or did you find yourself hungry at times, or?
Not really. There was always enough until the time I left home. There's always been enough. In fact, we are favored in that part of Zimbabwe because it's generally the wettest part of the country. In Zimbabwe, as you might know, we experience the our seasonal rainfalls. In winter, for example, it's quite dry, unlike Ireland. In summer, that's when we get most of our rainfall. But in that part of Zimbabwe where I grew up, it's generally not as hot as the other parts of the country.
Yeah,
and we have rivers, and it's quite easy to access water for irrigation. So, in terms of food supplies, it's much more easier in that part of the country than the rest of Zimbabwe.
What about the culture, the tradition of? Was there church, or was there service, or was there your own? General beliefs?
We have a mixture of beliefs. There are some who believe in tradition, but I would say in Zimbabwe generally, there were missionaries who came there some years ago, as early as the 1890s, soon after the British occupied the country. They introduced the religion, and there are different types of religion. Myself, I'm from an Anglican background. That's the denomination I grew up in. It would be similar to what you call the Protestant year. The schools I went to were all of Protestant background, but we also have other religions. For example, Methodist. That would mainly United Methodist mainly was from. Some of it was from the United Kingdom, some of it from America. So you find the two types of Methodist in Zimbabwe. Then you also have Salvation Army and all the rest. So in general, Zimbabwe is a Christian country.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have some people who believe in tradition.
Was there a tendency, or did you feel it at any stage that your parents, your grandparents would have been, that religion would have been forced on them? I mean, was that something that, you know, their culture was taken, their belief, their tradition, you know, became less because of the incoming missionaries. Was that something that happened, do you think?
I wouldn't say it was really forced, but I think what basically happened was, in a way it was forced, in the sense that to gain access, for example, into some of the schools, you would have to be of that religious background, because the missionaries brought the schools. So for you to be able to go into that particular school, you'll need to be of that religion. But it wasn't really like a forced religion. If you didn't want to go to school, there was no one to force you to...
Not forced in that sense, but like overpowering, you know, kind of taking over, or you had to become part of them to be a better person. Was that something that I know you're probably too young to experience it, but did your father experience that? Or your...
No, he didn't. He didn't. In fact, he wasn't religious, unfortunately. But my mother is religious.
Yeah.
But my father never used to go to church, for example.
Yeah.
So he could be part of the culture at that time.
Would your father have practiced, you know, your culture, within your culture, there would have been, your father would have fathered many children. Is that something that would be the case, or?
Not really. In our culture, no.
No.
No. The reason why we are 7 is because there are 2 boys and 5 girls. My assumption is they wanted a boy, and it was only until the 4th child that they got a boy. Then the one who comes after me is a girl.
Yeah.
So they wanted more boys, so.
Yeah,
they kept that. That's how they ended up with the number of children. But you can get 4 families with 4 children, 5 children, 3 children.
Yeah.
But in general, I think if a standard family would be like 5 children.
What was your schooling like? Did you go to school there? And
I went to school in Nyanga, where I grew up. I did my primary school there. I went there for 7 years. We call it. It was from grade one. We call it. We have a system of grades. Primary school is grade 1 up to grade 7. Then after grade 7, you go to secondary school. Secondary school will be from form 1 up to form 6. I did my form 1 up to form 6 in a different part of the province. It was still in the Eastern Highlands, but it was still a Protestant school. So there were some missionaries there.
What was your schooling days like? I mean, did you enjoy them, or were they tough?
I really did enjoy them. Or I would say I didn't really feel, on a reflection, it would appear like it was tough. But at that time, I didn't feel anything. I used to walk, the school where I went for primary school, it was about, 7 kilometers away. Mm-hmm. Which was a long walk for someone starting school. I started school when I was 8 years old. So I'd walk that distance to and from school.
You'd walk 7 kilometers, 2 and 7 back again in the evening.
And seven back again in the evening.
Yeah.
But it was quite manageable.
How do you mean it was quite manageable?
It's not something that you would feel...
tired?
No. We it's something that we, at that time anyway, there were very few schools in the in the country, and because that was before Zimbabwe got independence, there were very few schools. But after independence, some schools were built much closer to where I lived. So for children growing up today, that would be quite a different experience. Even my children wouldn't be able to walk that distance. But we used to walk all the way, and that part of the country is quite cold.
Yeah.
Perhaps people, for your information, people from the western part of Europe, the British who settled in Zimbabwe, for example, they preferred, they found the climate there very suitable for them, because it was cool enough and the air there was very fresh high up in the mountains, and
yeah,
the climate was very good. Perhaps similar to what the kind of temperatures you would experience there. Of course, it's not as cold as here. We don't have any snow there, but you get ground frost, and
yeah,
it can be quite chilly.
Do you consider yourself lucky that you got schooling then? I know you walked a long distance to get there, but when you got to school, do you find were you one of the lucky ones that went?
In my community, everyone had free access to school. I wouldn't say I was lucky because it
Yeah.
was something that was accessible
To all the children.
to all the children. And it was something that was generally practiced in the area to take children to school. You'd find very few situations where children would not go to school.
Tell me, in the classroom, what was the curriculum, the subjects taught in the classroom?
At what stage? At primary
I said
school? At
primary, when you
primary?
started off.
Okay, when I started off, I can't remember exactly, but we had the standard languages anyway. The local language was studied. We call it, in my case, it was Shona. There was English, there was maths, there was science, there was content. There was what we used to call content. Content would comprise history, geography, and a bit of science.
And this was all in primary.
It was all in primary, yes.
What?
Okay, in the first few, in lower primary school, I think there were fewer subjects anyway. I think we were doing probably three or
Yeah.
four subjects, including art
Yeah.
and craft and music. But as we progressed later on, things like content were introduced in the curriculum.
And did you go on to second level then, when you were finished with junior class or
Yes.
primary class?
Okay, after primary school, I then went to the secondary school, which was also a missionary school. I spent 6 years there, starting from Form 1 up to Form 6. Form 6 would probably be the similar to leaving certificate year, whereby after you finish it, you go to university. The subjects there, we had a number of subjects. The languages would come in, there was English literature. English language, there was Shona, which is our local language. We did science, we did the history, we did geography. I'm not sure if I'm missing another one, but we did about eight subjects anyway in total.
What about your own local history? Did you learn anything about that in school?
We did, yes. We did that, especially in secondary school. The first 2 years, first 3 years in secondary school, we studied African history, and a major component of that was to do with our own history, Zimbabwean history. But the problem then, I would say probably the books that was before independence anyway. So some of the information there was a bit didn't cover as much as it would have. Because of the colonial history, the books would have been written by the colonialist.
They would have been
So
biased.
there was a bit of bias, especially on the history, yes.
What about, when you progressed and you'd finished with school then? Did you at that stage had you any idea of well, you did geography in school, so you had an idea where Ireland was.
I had, yes. Apparently, we also did European history. Myself, I dropped history anyway at Form 3. That was after 3 years. I didn't want to continue doing history because there was a choice of choosing going towards the science subjects or going towards the art subjects. So I dropped history. But those who did history actually covered the European history. They would cover the Second World War, the First World War, and all the various aspects of European history. Geography, yes. Geography, we did in our geography there was a part of Zimbabwean geography. Then there was I would say European or Western part of geography. But at that time the syllabus mainly concentrated on the syllabus that I was that was introduced then was covered American geography.
Yeah.
So you would almost tell what sort of economic activities are done in a state in America, for example, California, Washington, the kind of economic activities they do there. We would know also where Ireland is, but from a historical point of view mainly, and not geography.
Yes. So at that stage, so in your life, you had no idea about too much about the country. What were your reasons for coming over to Europe then, when you finished school?
Okay, what happened after I finished the university? I went for postgraduate studies to England. I spent 2 years there. Then I went back to Zimbabwe. At that time, I didn't want to, after spending 2 years in England, home was very attractive then. And all I was doing was aiming to go back home and work. So I did that. Then after some years, things started changing. Then I started looking for opportunities because in the late 90s, from 97 onwards, things started, the economic situation in Zimbabwe started changing. So I wanted a bit of experience anyway on the international scene, working experience. Then also I wanted a bit of to earn a bit of foreign currency because the economic situation in Zimbabwe was changing. So I thought I could be here for a few years then go back. So I started looking for a job. I posted my CV on the internet. Then sometime in 2002, some agents called me to ask whether I was interested in coming for an interview for a job in Ireland.
And what year did you start posting your CV on the internet? When did that start? In 2002, was it? Or?
Probably in 2001, I would say in
Yeah.
2001.
And that was just about the time
It
as
was
well
just
that
about
trouble.
things had started changing. It was still attractive anyway. It is
Yeah.
still attractive, I would say. But I just wanted to do a few things before I settle down
Yeah, and at
permanently.
this stage you weren't married, or were you settled, or at this when you returned from England back to Zimbabwe?
I went to England with my wife.
Oh, you were married at
I was
this stage.
married,
Oh,
but
sorry.
we didn't have any children.
Yeah.
We didn't have any children.
Yeah.
We our first child was born in 1999.
Right. So you were very young when you got married. So were you? You were still a student.
Oh, I'd finished university,
Yeah.
but when I went to England, I was going for a master's degree. So I think I was old enough. I think I was old enough. My friends, most of them had been married anyway.
Yes.
So,
What's your wife's first name?
Tsitsi.
Sitzi.
Tsitsi, yes.
Anyway, was she from close to where you lived yourself at home?
She lives close to where I live, but I didn't know her until she was in university. So
That's where you met.
that's where we met, yes.
In England?
University
Or in
in
school
Zimbabwe,
in Zimbabwe,
in
yeah.
Zimbabwe, yes.
So, and the two of you went off to London for 2 years, you were
We did,
saying, yeah.
yes, we
But you
did.
never really liked it, did you not?
I would say we did, but there was nothing compelling us to stay
Stay.
on. I'd finished my studies anyway, and I couldn't get any job until after I worked for some time back home because I got a scholarship. So one condition of the scholarship was that after I finish my studies, I go back home and work for the time that they sponsored me before I start looking for work elsewhere.
And what did you get the scholarship on, or what did you win the scholarship on what particular subject,
Oh,
or
it was in civil engineering.
civil
Civil
engineering?
engineering,
Yeah.
yes. It was in civil
Yeah.
engineering.
So that was your outlook. This is what you really wanted to do,
This is what I
and
really
you
want.
wanted more experience abroad. But was your intention always to return again when you came abroad the second time?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes. I still expect to go home
Yeah.
sometime. Sometime, I can't say when, but sometime.
When you were looking for work, and you had your CV, how did you use the internet to advertise yourself?
Okay, if you search the internet, there are some recruitment agencies who request your CVs. They'll have like several positions which they want to fill in. So if you are interested in a particular position, you just post your CV onto that website. Then if they are interested in your profile, they get in touch with you and arrange an interview if they feel like interviewing you. In my case, after I posted my CV, some agents from here, from Ireland, they contacted me. They were going to be in Botswana carrying out some interviews. So they asked me to whether I was still interested in a job in Ireland. I was. Then they arranged a date for an interview, and I traveled from Zimbabwe to Botswana, where I took part in the interview.
How did that go?
Oh, successfully. Oh, I felt very, very, I mean, it went on well.
Yeah.
I really felt I was on top of the situation.
No.
But probably I can't understand the question properly. How was it, are you talking of the interview or?
How did the interview, you know, where you met, did you find that, did you know much about Ireland? I mean, were you familiar with the country and its history?
No, I didn't know much about the country. I knew, yes, there was the Republic of Ireland, but in Zimbabwe and in Zimbabwe, for example, you notice that Northern Ireland, in some years ago, it used to receive more publicity than the Republic of Ireland. So when I said I was going to Ireland, many people thought I was going to the Republic of Ireland, and people would be asking you whether it was stable for one to go there. But I knew of the Republic of Ireland anyway, because
of all the
troubles.
The troubles,
yes.
Of the north, yeah.
Because of the troubles.
But did you think you were going into a place where there was still fighting going on?
Personally, no. But some people related to me thought it was in northern Ireland.
Yes, yeah.
Myself, I'd lived in England anyway, so
yeah.
I knew much about. I knew a bit anyway about the difference between the two, between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, that it's a separate republic on its own, and they've got their own government and things like that. So it wasn't too unfamiliar.
But did it take a while to work it out, or had you it worked out already? Well, you kind of knew the situation. And when you arrived then, when you came to Ireland and you decided to go with this job, describe to me what it was like. You know, you arrived in Dublin. Was your first post here in Tala, or was it somewhere else?
It was here in Tala. Apparently, when I came, I had a colleague who had been in Ireland before me. So I went to stay with him initially before I sorted my own accommodation. He lives in Sandry, which is far off from Tala. Yeah. So what we did anyway was, when soon after I arrived, the following day, he accompanied me to this place, because I needed to know where the offices are, so that I have an idea of how to travel the following Monday. So we came here and I realized it was such a long way. But the transport system anyway was such that you could board a bus and still get here on time anyway to start work. So I stayed there for about 6 months with him until I sorted my own accommodation.
And did you bring your wife with you at this stage?
No, I didn't. She was also working back home, and she needed some time I needed some time here to settle down. While she was also concluding whatever she was doing back home. Well, the other thing also was with the kids also, we had to make some arrangements to make sure that whenever they came here, things would be settled
in place.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think especially accommodation, and you would also think about schools and things like that.
So how did it go then? You know, you found yourself working here in Tala then, as an engineer in these buildings. Did you settle in easy?
Oh, it was very easy to settle in. I would say the working environment was very conducive, was very receptive. I didn't struggle to settle down. The engineers we are working with, they were very cooperative in terms of introducing me to the work, to the kind of work. And they also gave me time to settle, to get acquainted with the various aspects of work that they wanted me to be dealing with. So it was, I found the atmosphere to be very, very relaxed and receptive.
Yeah. Did you find as well I suppose pleasant atmosphere, you know, that it had a pleasant atmosphere about the place, that that it was easy to manage yourself and move around?
Correct. Yes, it was very good, because rarely do you find an employer getting concerned about where you are living, where you are coming from. But at least they took all that into account, and
So you didn't feel alone. You didn't feel in any way cut off, or you know, you didn't feel out there in a limb.
Not really. In fact, when I came, I wasn't the only Zimbabwean in the group. I think there were about 10 Zimbabweans who came along with me, who started at the same time, or almost at the same time with me. So apart from the very good environment that we got into, there were also some colleagues who had also come from Zimbabwe.
So you had really your own people with you at the same time?
There were some people from Zimbabwe at the same time, yes.
Oh, so you weren't that much alone then?
No.
So 6 months later, what did you do then when you left the apartment? Did you come over here, or did you organize for your family to come over here?
The first thing I arranged was accommodation suitable for a family. Then apparently, when I wanted my family to come here, the Irish government introduced a visa system for people coming from Zimbabwe to Ireland. So there was a setback. When I expected them to come, they couldn't come, because we then had to apply for visas, despite the fact that we had already bought tickets. So they were not excluded, so they had to apply for visas. And the first time we applied for the visas, they were refused. So we had to go through an appealing process until the visas were granted. So it sort of delayed them by about another six months. So they came here effectively almost more than a year after I came here. So that was the main setback, but we eventually went over it anyway.
So after the year, you all got together again?
We all got together again, yes, until now.
Yeah. Oh, what year was it? That was about 2003, was it, when you...
It was...
When your family came over here?
It was in 2003, yes. Yeah. It was in 2003.
And since then, has it been good? I mean, have you... has your own wife and children, have they integrated within the community here?
Oh, yes, they have... especially the children find it more easy to integrate anyway compared to grown-ups. I think that applies to everyone. But they have integrated, and
they're playing with the local football team.
Exactly. Yeah, we find it very good here. Yeah. I think there are a lot of similarities with the back home.
Is there? Do you find that?
There is, yes.
In what way now?
Oh, the green open spaces. I particularly like them. They remind me of rural Zimbabwe when I was growing up. And you see, yeah, it's even better because, see, with the rain, it's always green.
Yes. And what about, you know, when you think in terms of yourself, your wife, Sue, Citi,
City.
How did she manage? I mean, was she taken? Was it a culture shock when she came here? Was she? Of course, she had experienced London as well, which
She
you,
did,
yeah.
yes.
So it wasn't so difficult for her
No,
either.
it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't.
And did she find work here as well, or is she working, or is she?
She's not working. At the moment, she's studying. She tried to look for it, but it was a problem anyway. So we decided she could go for studies. So she's at the moment studying anyway for a postgraduate degree, and hopefully she'll finish this year.
And your own work, do you enjoy engineering here in the country? Do you find it, is it a challenge? Do you find it interesting work?
No, engineering is interesting. There's something always different. When you design, for example, there's always something different or unique to a particular situation that you are looking at. Yeah, interestingly, I'm working in the water and drainage design section. And the drainage aspect of it is quite interesting because with the amount of rain you have here, you have more problems with managing surface water than we do back in Zimbabwe. Yeah, it's like you have to manage it throughout the year. In Zimbabwe, water just flows. No one really, depending on the area, of course, but generally we don't have as many problems with the surface water runoff as you have here. Yeah, you have to plan for things like flooding. You have to plan for you have to make sure that there are things like, for example, European directives that have certain requirements. You can't just do anything you want, or the state cannot do certain things
You have
without
standard
complying
rules
with
too,
the
yes.
you have sets of standards that we have to comply with. For example, drinking water directive and things like that. Of course, we have drinking water standards back home, but here the enforcement, there are so many statutory requirements that have to be complied with.
But water has become a big issue now, and even though that we have a lot of water and it keeps raining, but a lot of the water is polluted, and it's very, it's becoming more difficult to get drinkable, clean water in the cities. Have you come up against this, or is this something that you find, like I said before, a bit of a challenge in trying
In my
to
area,
Treat the water, to treat the water as it's coming in.
of work, no. I would think for Dublin, for example, the main water sources are outside the built-up areas, so I don't see it as a major problem at the moment, because most of the water is coming outside Dublin anyway. But in terms of pollution, yes. The surface water I've just been talking about is going through built-up areas, and there are so many sources of pollution. If water is going through built-up areas, and there have been studies, for example, looking at introducing policies where water pollution is sort of minimized. The EU directives, for example, also look at what governments should do to reduce water pollution, surface water pollution, and keep the quality of water, even in the beaches, of good quality.
Yeah, that's right. It is. But I suppose when you're in this type of business, that
Right.
it becomes part and parcel of what you do every day. You're designing a system that's going to work in managing water, and it is an interesting one, isn't it?
It is very interesting, yeah, because there are different aspects to it. For example, when you treat water, you would look at, for example, the objectives. There are reasons for treating water. For example, water that is going to be used. South Dublin County Council, who are my employers, they don't they get their water from Dublin City. So they are not actually involved in water treatment. They actually receive treated water, then distribute it within the county. So I'm not particularly involved in that aspect of drinking water treatment, no.
But
but
in the
distribution,
managing it,
but the distribution
distribution,
of it,
yeah.
I would do in one way or another be involved in it.
Yeah. But in your
but
own,
as
yeah.
far as the surface water runoff is concerned, that's water that is falling, the rainwater. In the section I was working in previously, I would deal with the, for example, people applying for permission to for new developments where, for example, where you have existing green fields, they would actually be generating more runoff by virtue of their new developments. So I would look at it from a point of view of water quantity, because we also want to control the quantity of water. We don't want water to, we don't want to increase the quantity of water getting into the existing systems, because that increases the risk of flooding. Then the other aspect would be the pollution point of view, because we have new drainage policies and they have particular requirements for, they have particular requirements for the quality of water that is discharged from new developments. So there are certain things that which need to be put in place to make sure that the water is of the right quality before it is discharged into the public drainage system.
Yes, and I would imagine that, you know, with all this work and all this practice and experience that you're learning here at the moment, are you going to take it home with you someday?
Oh, definitely, there's something to learn. There's definitely something to learn. There are things which you feel, if we were also to introduce them back home, they would actually be very helpful. There are so many things to learn in the system, even the way projects are managed. There are so many things you think if you introduce certain things, they would improve the way things are managed.
Or do you think there's a possible chance that you set down roots here and that you will make this your home for the future?
Oh, for my children, I think there's that possibility. It's something that I think about for my children. But for me, my hope is that one day, my hope is still that one day I'll be able to go back home.
But is that a dream or is it for real?
It's for real. It's for real. But one thing that creeps on into my mind anyway, as the children grow up, they are getting integrated into the society they are living. So there comes a time when you feel you one would be doing them more. There comes a time when you feel you might actually be disadvantaging them to introduce them to a different system compared to the one they are growing up in. So I think there will come a time when, if I don't go back within a certain time frame, I will just decide to stay on for the sake of my children.
Well, I hope whatever your decision is, that you know that it'll be the right one anyway, and I'm sure it will. I mean, I'm sure you're extremely happy where you are.
I'm very happy. Ireland is a very good country. The only disadvantage, though, is the distance from home, but it's a very good country to live in.
What about your parents? Your any people belonging to you still? Are your parents still living?
My mother is still living, but my father passed away 24 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, it's a place that you will. Do you go on holidays? Do you go home? Do you take breaks?
I go home on holidays. Yes. I go home. But the disadvantage, as I said, is distance. So it takes some long-term planning for you to be able to raise enough tickets
journey.
And make that journey. Mm-hmm. And when you go there also, you need more time. You can't just go there for 1 week and come back after paying a lot of money on the airfares. Mm-hmm. So that's the main disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. As they say, Richard, one loves his native land. But Richard Tawamba, thank you very much today for telling me your story. Thank you.
Thank you very much.